Well, Australia is caught in the crossfire of the trade and currency war between the United States and China, with $86 billion wiped off the local stock market in just 2 days. With Australia already paying the price of the showdown between the world's two largest economies, the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, is calling for cool heads to prevail.
Well, we shouldn't overreact to these developments, but we should recognise that China's currency moves and the increase in US tariffs are an unwanted escalation. We also need to be realistic that there is greater uncertainty in the global economic outlook.
That's the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, speaking on AM this morning. Adding to the gloom, the Reserve Bank has downgraded its forecast for jobs and economic growth, which could have implications for the government's much-wanted budget surplus, the one that this morning again, Josh Frydenberg has promised he will deliver. To help us digest all of this, I'm joined by Nikki Hutley, a senior economist and partner at Deloitte Access Economics. Welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thank you, Pat.
So the Treasurer says it's not panic time, do not panic, but Australia is already collateral damage in these hostilities between the US and China, with the stock market hit hard and the Aussie dollar at its lowest level in a decade. Will this financial upheaval get worse before it gets better?
Yeah, look, apropos of collateral damage, I mean, Australia's actually been doing quite well out of this trade war, perversely, because China's response to a slowing economy over the last year has in fact been, let's do more in terms of domestic infrastructure, Belt and Road. So they've had steel outputs increased, iron ore prices have increased. It's not just what's happened with the Brazil dam burst. It's actually increased demand as well as reduced supply that's been boosting those prices. So up till now, we've seen, you know, record prices we're doing really well. That's augurs really well for the budget surplus. These things take time to flow through to the economy. So with the reversal in prices, and it's still, you know, around about $100 a tonne, it's still well above where it was at budget time, forecast to be at $85. So it's a good thing at the moment still for the underlying budget surplus and flowing through to our terms of trade and what that means for household income. But obviously, it's now getting more serious. China is getting more concerned. Growth there is slowing. And this is where the rubber really hits the road and things are starting to get a little bit scary. So irrespective of what's happening on stock markets, and that's probably a little bit of an overreaction in the first instance, but you know, I think the basic paradigm that we're operating in now has changed fundamentally with this new round of tariff imposition. And so I am a little bit worried about what it means for the Australian economy more broadly, and that obviously will flow on to financial markets, including the equity market.
So if this tit-for-tat between China and the US keeps escalating, and look, if you look at the political kind of dimensions, US election next year, it looks very likely to keep escalating given the political win for, you know, the president in terms of amping this up. Does it just show we're powerless in the bigger geopolitical game being played out on the world stage?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I like to liken Australian economy to being a small ferry riding along, and you know, China and the US are these giant tankers that are whooshing past us, and you know, when the waves come up on our side, you know, we're the ones that get buffeted. Unfortunately, we are a small open economy. We are very reliant on our trading partners, and particularly China, of course. Whether this will help President Trump or not, though, is really open to question. I mean, again, by slapping a ban on agricultural imports, this potentially has again the ability to actually support Australian exporters, at least at the margin, if they can get their production up. So it's hurting, yes, the US. I mean, overall global trade will decline, so will growth, which is not good for anyone. But in the short term, Australia can actually potentially benefit at the margin from these trade wars. Of course, in the long run, no one wins.
China is our biggest trading partner. Does that make us more exposed than the US to this brawling? You say that there's a sort of short-term dividend for us, if I can describe it that way, but not long-term. So how will it hurt us?
Oh, so our initial modelling, when we ran them through our horizon modelling scenario, suggested that it would knock about 0.25 percentage points off growth, possibly cost around 20,000 jobs. Now, that was with the initial round of tariff cuts. We've seen that more than double. So we're talking big numbers here over the long term that will inevitably hit the Australian economy. It is not good news, but it's not good news for the US either. I mean, no one ever wins from a trade war. And the fact that Trump won't back down, that China doesn't look like it wants to back down, you know, we're just heading for economic I won't say Armageddon, but it's not going to be very pretty. And, you know, Australia's been very, very lucky for 28 years. Inevitably, there was going to be some external shock that was going to put our economy under serious threat. We don't have a lot of firepower with the RBA. Frydenberg wants to hang on to his surplus. Something's got to give somewhere.
How much damage has been done to retirement savings? I noticed Peter Costello, former Treasurer, warning about the ramifications for retirees. What do you make of just the wipe down there?
Yeah, look, every time we see this sort of level of write down, it is very alarming. The question is this an overreaction from which we're going to bounce? It looks like share markets will open a little bit steadier and up today. The question is, though, what will happen over the longer term? We're in for a difficult reporting season, it's said. We're downgrading our forecasts for economic growth. None of these things augur well for the share market, even if it does recover a little bit from what's happened in the last 2 days. Are we going to see another, you know, global financial crisis and something like that? At this stage, it doesn't seem likely, but it certainly seems increasingly possible. I don't think we're going to see the meltdown we had then because of financial markets are a bit more stable, but we certainly are not going to see anything positive coming out of these wars. If you want to retire, you know, you obviously want to be a little bit more defensive in your portfolio at the moment and not be exposed to high growth stocks, for example. But if you're a year out from retirement, you probably shouldn't be doing that anyway.
The Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, said a short time ago that the government will still deliver a surplus next year, and it's determined to do that. It sees it really as an article of faith, I think. So do you think that will happen?
Yeah, I think they can still do that because of the timing of the flow-throughs. I think if nothing else, they will be saved by the fact that we've still got these high iron ore prices flowing through from corporate profits and corporate tax revenues. We've actually seen, you know, unemployment is pretty stable, so nothing there that's going to send their forecasts awry. You know, is there anything that they can delay in the big ticket items? You know, they've got this $100 billion infrastructure portfolio. Not that much of that is being spent in 1 year. They can defer a little bit. So they can tweak at the margin. They were pretty close. I think they can still deliver a very small surplus unless things go totally pear-shaped. But even then, the delays in flow-through, it's going to have more impact on the 2021 budget than the 1920 budget.
And then you think we could see we go into surplus and we slip back?
Look, I'm normally such an optimist, but it is very hard to keep your glass half full view at the moment on how we're going to steer out of what's a significant global mess. You add Brexit into the mix, a no-deal Brexit in a couple of months' time, and what that's going to do to Europe and the chaos there. We're in for a very, you know, fasten your seatbelts, we're in for a bumpy ride type of scenario.
The RBA kept interest rates on hold this month, but given all the increased uncertainty we're talking about, will it cut again and how many times do you think?
I think it's inevitable that they will cut again, not just because of the increased global uncertainty. And I think they've been quite clear in their communications about this. It's more about the timing. The market has been suggesting November after the next CPI. Given what's happening at the moment, it's quite possible they could go as soon as next month. And then we see another one. I'm thinking now at least two more, possibly more. But then you start to get into the point where you say, well, we know these interest rate cuts have become much less effective when you get close to zero. Are we looking at QE? And, you know, this is the big test for Frydenberg is, do we need to see fiscal stimulus? You know, are the state governments looking at fiscal stimulus? You know, these are the things that are going to be big issues to test the federal government.
And very briefly, should he be?
Should he be? Yes, exactly. It's absolutely my view that now that there should be stimulus coming into the economy. There are a range of ways that they can do that. Regional infrastructure projects, you know, Deloitte Access Economics promotes New Start being raised. There are a lot of things that they can be doing. And yes, they definitely should be starting to get ready now.
Nikki, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Pat.
Nikki Hutley is an economist and partner at Deloitte Access Economics.